You are now going live.
Thank you. Welcome to our telephone press conference on the Brunner Island Power Plant. I'm Tom Pelton, Director of Communications for the Environmental Integrity Project. We're a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization based in Washington, D.C., that protects public health and the environment by investigating polluters, holding them accountable under the law, and strengthening public policy. Today, we will have four speakers, followed by a question and answer session from reporters. To ask a question, press star one. Our first speaker is going to be Ted Evgenitis, the Lower Susquehanna River Keeper. His name is spelled E-V-G-E-N-I-A-D-I-S, Ted Evgenitis. Next, we'll have Mary Green, Deputy Director of the Environmental Integrity Project. Next, we'll have Larissa Liebman, Staff Attorney at Waterkeeper Alliance. Her name is spelled L-I-E-B-M-A-N-N. And finally, we'll have David Mazur, Executive Director of Penn Environment. His name is spelled M-A-S-U-R. Our first speaker is Ted Evgenitis, the Lower Susquehanna Riverkeeper. Go ahead, Ted.
Thank you, Tom. Just wanted to thank everybody for joining us today. We are celebrating a very special day for the health of the Susquehanna River, its aquatic species, our communities, and the Chesapeake Bay. Today marks an unprecedented win for the Lower Susquehanna Riverkeeper Association against coal ash. The association is a nonprofit organization dedicated to improving and protecting the ecological health of the Lower Susquehanna River watershed and the Chesapeake Bay. The Lower Susquehanna Riverkeeper patrols the river and its tributaries for illegal pollution and, when necessary, enforces environmental laws to protect the river and the communities that depend on it. The Riverkeeper is a licensed waterkeeper and member of Waterkeeper Alliance. Coal ash is the toxic waste left over from coal-burning power plants and contains some of the most dangerous known chemicals, including heavy metals like arsenic, lead, mercury, and chromium. Exposure to these toxics raises the risk for cancer, heart disease, and stroke, and can inflict permanent brain damage on children. Coal combustion residuals, or CCR, are typically piped to holding ponds where those contaminants settle out on the bottom of the pond and then leach in the groundwater and eventually seep into nearby waterways. It's known that roughly 95% of coal ash ponds in the United States are unlined, and that's the case here. Until recently, Brunner Island was still discharging waste into an unlined basin, and those harmful contaminants are in fact polluting groundwater and indeed reaching their way to nearby surface water, being Black Duck Creek and the Susquehanna River through seeps and springs. Recent sampling results depicted high levels of lead, aluminum, iron, manganese, sulfates, and arsenic at levels over 38 times the drinking water standard. Through those sampling efforts and historical data, we were able to determine clear violations of the Clean Water Act, the PA Clean Streams Law, and Brunner Island's Clean Water Act discharge permit. Mary Green will discuss the specifics of the consent decree, but I would like to mention that Talen Energy will pay the biggest fine ever imposed in PA in relation to coal ash contamination. Talen Energy will also fund a supplemental environmental project towards restoration of two local tributaries to the Susquehanna River. And this is great news for the Susquehanna River and York County. York County must meet Chesapeake Bay TMDL pollution reduction targets and the required monitoring for nitrogen through this consent decree, and the measures taken, which Mary will discuss, will ultimately assist DEP to properly account for nitrogen discharges, a major pollutant to the river and Chesapeake Bay. For decades, Brunner Island has been a polluter contributing unacceptable levels of heavy metals to the Susquehanna River. These heavy metals not only cause concern for humans, but also poisons and kills fish and aquatic life. Smallmouth bass are still suffering from abnormalities in the Susquehanna River. While Talen Energy cleans up its coal ash and is a great win for our communities that enjoy the river, it's also a victory for aquatic and avian species that depend on this resource. Our communities who recreate around Brunner Island and downstream of the plant will be able to feel safer when it comes to water quality and their health. Anglers around the plant and downstream may be more willing to keep a fish to eat, knowing that the river is healthier. And as a result of this settlement, we hope our communities will feel empowered to use the river recreationally knowing that the river is safer. The river is a shared resource, and for those who pollute it, they must be held accountable. Bruner Island has polluted our river for far too long, and it's now time to clean up the mess they have left behind. The easy fix for many plants around the country is to abandon their ash basins and cap in place, leaving behind millions of tons of coal ash. That's not the case today for the Susquehanna River. Talon Energy has been cooperative throughout our negotiations, and we appreciate their willingness to discuss the matter at the table rather than litigate and spend years in a legal battle while the river continues to suffer. The Susquehanna River will now be a healthier flowing river for all of our downstream communities and the Chesapeake Bay. And I am available for any questions. And thank you for letting me speak today.
Thank you. That was Ted Evgenitis, the Lower Susquehanna Riverkeeper. Last name is spelled Evgenidis. Ted Evgenitis. Next, we'll have Mary Green, Deputy Director of the Environmental Integrity Project. Her last name is spelled Greene. Go ahead, Mary.
Thank you, Tom. Hello. Again, my name is Mary Green, and as Tom mentioned, I'm the Deputy Director for the Environmental Integrity Project, or EIP, and we are legal counsel for the citizen plaintiff and the settlement. EIP was founded in 2002 as a watchdog organization to hold both industry and EPA accountable under environmental laws. We are pleased today to announce the lodging that is occurring of a significant federal consent decree with citizens, defendants Talon Energy and Bruner Island LLC, and the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection. This settlement will significantly reduce the impact of toxic coal ash pollution to the Susquehanna River and its tributaries, as well as groundwater at the Bruner Island Electric Generating Station. Although I'll speak more to this in a moment, the consent decree, among other things, requires Talon to close and excavate a leaky coal ash pond and repair a leaking landfill, pay a $1 million civil penalty to DEP, and undertake supplemental environmental projects valued at $100,000 that will benefit the Lower Susquehanna River watershed. In August 2018, Citizens sent a notice of intent to sue letter to defendants, which is required under the law before filing a citizen suit to enforce the Clean Water Act. In September 2018, we also filed an appeal of Bruner's water discharge permit with the Pennsylvania Environmental Hearing Board. The purpose of those legal actions were to compel cleanup of coal ash pollution at Bruner Island and to ensure that Bruner's water discharge permit met all requirements of state and federal law. As part of the work required under the consent decree, Talon has ceased sending coal ash to its last active unlined basin called Ash Basin 6. Talon will drain that basin by June 2021, and it will completely excavate the ash from it by the end of 2031, if not sooner. Talon also will take abatement actions to address contamination beneath Ash Basin 5, another unlined impoundment, and will take steps, including repairs to the liner and leachate collection system, to ensure coal ash from the landfill no longer leaches into groundwater. Two other important aspects of the settlement for our clients is Talon's commitment to assess and, if warranted, take steps to restore water quality in Black Gut Creek and to eliminate seeps at the site, many of which are discharging to the river or creek. With regard to its water discharge permit, Talon will be taking steps to eliminate the causes of the violation citizens alleged, including actions that will reduce the harmful impact to fish from the plant's cooling tower thermal discharges. The settlement also corrects several deficiencies in the permit issued by BEP, including the failure to account for nitrogen from stormwater outfalls and the failure to adhere to Clean Water Act requirements for evaluating whether a request for a variance from more stringent thermal discharge limits is warranted. In this case, all parties came willingly to the table to first discuss whether settlement was possible and then to craft solutions to the problems citizens identified in both their notice of intent to sue letter and the appeal of Talon's water discharge permit. I commend Talon, which acquired Bruner Island in 2015, and the Pennsylvania DEP for their willingness to work constructively to address citizens' concerns without the need for costly and protracted litigation. To me, this settlement is illustrative of the positive outcomes that can be achieved when citizens work effectively with state regulators and their regulated community, in this case, Talon, to address and abate pollution in as transparent a manner as possible. Toward that end, as part of the consent decree, DEP has agreed to publicly post all important documents, including reports and associated data that Talon is required to submit. This concludes my statement. Thank you for your time, and I'd now like to give you the chance to hear from Waterkeeper Alliance and Penn Environment.
Thanks very much. That was Mary Green, Deputy Director of the Environmental Integrity Project. Her last name is spelled G-R-E-E-N-E. Next, we're going to have Larissa Liebman, Staff Attorney for Waterkeeper Alliance. Larissa's name is spelled L-A-R-I-S-S-A, L-I-E-B-M-A-N-N. Go ahead, Larissa.
Hey, thank you. As Tom said, I'm Larissa Liebman, a staff attorney at Waterkeeper Alliance. Waterkeeper Alliance holds polluters accountable. As the largest and fastest growing nonprofit solely focused on clean water, Waterkeeper Alliance unites a global network of over 300 waterkeeper groups protecting more than 2.5 million square miles of rivers, lakes, and coastal waterways on six continents. Burning coal is destructive, and Brunner Island is a prime example of why we need to move away from coal to clean, sustainable energy. Coal is toxic today, toxic tomorrow, and toxic for all time. Mining coal is dirty, and storing coal ash waste is dangerous. Coal, for its entire life cycle, leaves a toxic legacy that never goes away. Most coal ash storage in the United States is a dirty, risky disaster waiting to happen. We've seen a toxic coal ash disaster at the Tennessee Valley Kingston plant. We've seen it at Duke Energy's Dan River plant. Just last year, we saw more toxic coal ash disasters at Duke Energy plants following Hurricane Florence. And as we saw at Brunner Island, even absent a disaster, coal ash sites are a perpetual risk to the people and the environment because of the constant release of toxic metals. Brunner Island's contamination is part of a nationwide issue that we can and must solve. Throughout the country, coal ash sites are releasing dangerous, toxic heavy metals into groundwater, surface water, and drinking water. Of the 178 waterkeepers in the United States, 67 have at least one coal ash disposal site in their watershed, with a total of 149 coal ash sites in waterkeeper watersheds. Approximately one-third of these sites are known to have groundwater contamination. This contamination prevents communities from safely drinking, fishing, and swimming in their local waters. The threat will continue until the coal ash is excavated and safely recycled or securely stored away from our waters. We hope that this settlement will inspire other companies with coal ash disposal sites to follow Talon's lead and commit to fully and responsibly cleaning up their toxic coal ash sites. In cases where companies refuse to do the right thing, we hope that more state agencies will step up to protect communities hurt by coal ash pollution by bringing enforcement actions that compel coal ash excavation. Where states won't step up, Waterkeeper Alliance and waterkeepers around the nation will work with our environmental partners to compel these cleanups. It is long past time we cleaned up the toxic legacy of coal. It is long past time we moved away from dirty coal to clean, sustainable energy. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Larissa Liebman, Staff Attorney for Waterkeeper Alliance. Next, we're going to have David Mazur, Executive Director of Penn Environment. His last name is spelled M-A-S-U-R. Go ahead, David.
Great. Thanks, Tom. As Tom said, my name is David Mazur, and I'm the Executive Director for Penn Environment, which is a statewide citizen-based environmental group working to promote clean water, clean air, and protecting Pennsylvania's great natural heritage. I'd like to start out by thanking Tom and Mary and Lisa and all the staff at EIP and Larissa and the Waterkeeper Alliance and certainly Ted and everyone working with them at the Lower Susquehanna Riverkeepers for today's announcement. Today's announcement is one of historic proportion since our settlement includes the largest penalty ever assessed at a coal ash pollution site in Pennsylvania history. At the same time, Penn Environment is proud that today's announcement includes crucial steps to reduce the threat posed by toxic coal ash in Pennsylvania and for downstream communities, and we commend the new management at the plant at Talen Energy for working with us and the state to reach this agreement. This crucial case really affirms what we already knew. Putting millions of gallons of toxic coal ash next to our rivers and drinking water is just an accident waiting to happen. And sadly, in this case, that accident became a reality in the form of toxic pollutants that have been leaking out and contaminating the groundwater and Susquehanna River. Our case also reaffirms the threat that using fossil fuels poses to our health and environment. While the focus on dirty coal power often hones in on how these fossil fuels are a culprit in the fight against climate change, our announcement today should serve as a stark reminder that from the time we mine coal to the ways in which we dispose it and its waste, that from cradle to grave, our reliance on dirty coal puts our health and environment at risk in a variety of ways. There are coal ash sites all across Pennsylvania and the U.S. that could benefit from the kind of strong consent decree signed here for Brunner Island, such as requiring the closure and excavation of ash dumps, ongoing monitoring, and a substantial penalty for polluters. So we're incredibly excited about today's announcement and being part of this clean water suit. And with that, I'd like to wrap it up and hand it back to Tom. Thanks.
Thanks very much. That was David Mazur, Executive Director of Penn Environment. Now we're going to open it up to questions from reporters. Tia, can you tell the journalists how to get in line for a question?
Yes, I sure can. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll hold for one moment. Okay, your first question comes from Sean Riley. Sean, your line is live, and he is with E&E News.
Good morning, and thanks for doing the call. Got a three-part question related to the proposed consent decree. It calls for Ash Basin 6 to be drained by June of 2021, or almost 3 years from now, and then to be fully excavated by the end of 2031, which is more than 13 years from now. Do you have any concerns about the that in that interval, leachate from the basin will continue to pollute the Susquehanna? And then also, how was this timetable set, and would you have liked to have seen the excavation done on a more expedited schedule?
Mary Green, Mary Green, can you tackle that question?
Yeah, absolutely, I can. Yes, the consent decree requires Ash Basin 6 to be drained by 2021 and excavated no later than 2031. There are requirements in the CD for Talen to explore ways and report to DEP and citizens ways in which that timeline can be expedited. While we negotiated the consent decree, Talen explained to us some of the constraints they had in terms of a tighter timeline. So that is why we ultimately agreed to that, but with the caveat that they were required to explore ways in which to speed that process up. Now, in terms of contaminants continuing to leach into groundwater and the river and the creek during that process, it is our hope and the engineer's expectation that as the basin is dewatered, groundwater will improve substantially. Now, groundwater monitoring over time, which they will be doing, will either prove or disprove that, but all parties expect that to happen. So groundwater should be improving during this process and quite rapidly once the basin is drained.
Okay, does that answer your question, Sean?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, next question.
Okay, our next question comes from John Buffoon with York Daily. Your line is live.
Thanks, guys. Just a quick question, kind of a four-part question. I got a response email from Talon saying they have some disputes on the release that you guys put out this morning, one of which being that this isn't the largest penalty in PA history when it comes to coal pollution, and then another one would be that they don't put out 442,000 tons of coal waste a year, but rather 97,000 tons, which 90% goes to beneficial use. And then the last one I kind of wanted to ask about was they said that they weren't asked to close Ash Basin 6, rather just cease discharge of wastewater to Ash Basin 6. I was just hoping to get a reaction from anybody from your end on that.
Sure. Mary Green, you want to tackle that?
Sure. In terms of the penalty, we confirmed that with DEP. So if that is inaccurate, as Talon is claiming, that may be a question to direct to them. With regard to the amount of coal ash generated, we obtained that information from public records, from the Energy Information Agency. So there's not too much more I can say about that.
Mm-hmm.
And do you had a, I'm sorry, you had four parts to the question. I think I've answered two.
Sorry, I kind of just threw it all in the one big jarbled thing, but I apologize for that. That they weren't required to close Ash Basin 6, but rather just cease discharge of wastewater. Is that semantics, or is there a difference there?
I feel that is semantics. They've ceased discharge. They're draining it. And they are completely excavating it to the bedrock. So,
okay. And I'm sorry. The last thing I wanted to throw in, I wanted to put those three things out there. And then the last thing, you guys kind of already hinted on this, but I just kind of ask it again. Do you hope that this is kind of a trailblazing type event where you see this kind of, you know, people getting out ahead of this before it heads into lawsuits from here on out?
Well, we would certainly like to see that happened. I mean, I feel like this settlement was built on a foundation of ensuring accountability, transparency, and action, and also certainly cooperation between the regulator, in this case the state, the owner of the facility, and citizens. So I would love to see this kind of resolution repeated throughout the country at coal ash sites.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Okay, next question.
Okay, our next question comes from Logan Hullinger, and he is with the New York Dispute.
So I'm actually with the York Dispatch, I was just wondering, for comparison's sake, if you knew off the top of your head what the next largest penalty was in terms of coal ash pollution.
This is Mary Green again. My apologies, but I'm not aware of that. Again, that should be directed to DEP.
All right. That's all I had, so thank you very much.
Okay, sure. Next question.
Okay, our next question comes from Matthew Santoni, and he is with Law 360. Your line is live.
Good morning, and thanks. wanted first to ask if there had ever been any complaint filed against Talon, or whether the letter of intent was enough to bring them to the table to start negotiating this settlement.
Mary Green, do you want to tackle that?
Yeah. So we filed the notice of intent, and then they contacted us, Talon contacted us, asking whether we could discuss if there was potential for settlement. So in fact, what's occurring today is citizens have already filed their complaint. The mechanics of this I can explain to you. DEP is in the process of filing a separate complaint. And then the parties are jointly filing motions to lodge the consent decree and motions in each separate action to consolidate the actions into one. So
in
there
which
are
courts
a lot of
would this be happening?
In the Middle District, in the United States District Court for the Middle District of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So a lot of moving parts, but it should all come together.
Okay. I guess if maybe somebody would be able to email a docket number or something like that later on,
What's your email address?
Just first name, last name at law three, or first name dot last name, matthew.santoni@law360.com. And then while you're at it, the other question was whether there was a docket number for the Environmental Hearing Board petition to review the Clean Water Act permit.
Yes, we have all of that.
And whether this settlement also fits into that.
So you're looking for the docket number and also the filing number, Matthew?
Mm-hmm.
Docket number and filing number. Okay, we'll get that to you via email. Thanks. All right,
okay,
next
great.
Question.
Thank you. And
I'm sorry, Matthew, go ahead. If you were not done, go ahead. What is your follow-up?
Matthew, please hit star one.
Sorry about that. Matthew,
it's
still there.
Okay.
Matthew, are live.
Go ahead, Matthew. What's your follow-up question?
All right, thanks. I'm sorry. The last part of that then was just to try and make sure I understand what is closed and settled by this loss or by this this consent decree.
Mary Green?
So this consent decree resolves the violations we alleged in our notice of intent letter that was sent in August 2018. It also resolves the deficiencies we raised in our appeal of the permit before the Pennsylvania EHB.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's
right, that's it for me. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Next question.
Okay. Our next question comes from Sean Riley with E&E News. Sean, your line is live.
Hello again. To follow up on comments that were made by a couple of the speakers, is this the first type of first settlement of its type related to coal ash pollution and Clean Water Act, alleged Clean Water Act violations in the U.S.?
Does anyone know that on our panel?
I'm not sure that I'm able to answer that. Ted,
This is Ted. There was a recent victory with the Potomac Riverkeeper Network versus, I believe, Dominion Power. So if you can look up the specifics on that, you can look up the Potomac Riverkeeper Network, and they recently just had a win similar to ours, where the power company would have to then excavate their ash out of those facility sites.
Is that the only one you're aware of?
Off the top of my head, recently, yes.
Okay.
And that's right, and that has been in the last 3 months.
Okay. Thank
so
you.
I would
Yeah.
Sorry, this is Larissa. Sorry to pile on, but I just wanted to, with that Potomac River example, I would just differentiate that because in that case, Dominion, the company, did not do that by its own free will. It was through legislative action by the state.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit. It is same result, but for a different reason. And I know Waterkeeper Alliance has been involved in. We settled a few years back a case of a plant down in Florida, where they. However, that was not full excavation like we're seeing here with Talon.
And so, I guess a question for either you, Larissa, or Mary Green. I mean, do you see this as a template for? Similar actions around the country, and if so, are EIP or Waterkeeper Alliance pursuing any at this point or plan to pursue any?
Yeah, I can answer that question. This is Mary Grant. I certainly hope it serves as a template. I think in Pennsylvania, it's helpful because groundwater is a water of the state. So we raise both Clean Water Act claims and related Pennsylvania Clean Streams Law claims.
Mm-hmm.
But at this site, at this plant, the elevation of the groundwater is actually higher in places than the elevation of the surface water. And these basins are very, very close, a couple hundred yards from the river and the creek. So the connection of groundwater to surface water in this instance is absolutely undisputed and very close and occurs relatively rapidly. So as you know, as you may know, EPA is looking to change its historic position on whether groundwater that is hydrologically connected to surface waters is within the scope of the Clean Water Act. But the science of this case absolutely proves that it is. So as to whether this serves a template, we'll see. I hope so.
And have you sent any notice of intent to sue letters to other power companies at this point on alleging similar violations?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, next question.
We have no further questions in queue.
Okay, well then, thanks to everyone for participating. If you have any follow-up questions, you can call me, Tom Pelton, at 443-510-2574. Or email me at tpelton@environmentalintegrity.org. Thanks very much.
This concludes this morning's teleconference. You may now disconnect your lines.